Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Shake it up, baby.
Shake it up, baby.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me today. It's good to be with you. It's always great to be part of your day and to have you as part of mine, especially when I get to introduce you to some of the really cool people who are members of our Brain Trust, like our good friend Bill Doerr, who's been with us for a long time in our Brain Trust. He's joined us over the years a number of times, talking to us about putting our best foot forward in the marketplace, how to make sure that When we unlock the front door of our business and turn the lights on, turn the sign on, and say I'm open for business, that we actually are doing it in the way that makes the most sense. Bill is one of the principals of an organization called Sell More Marketing, LLC. Bill Doerr, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Good to be with y'all.
It's good to be have you here. And I know I told my audience earlier that Eric Blazinski, your partner, was going to be with us, but I understand that there's a little bit of a virus going through your neighborhood up there, and so he wasn't able to make it today, and I know you're not feeling tip-top today, but I appreciate the show-must-go-on attitude that you have, Bill. I always know I can count on you.
There you go, Jim. all I can say is I'm glad it's not TV. And
yeah.
I got a perfect voice and face for that, you know.
I got
but anyways, you. No, anyway, we're here, and we're going to do a good show.
We hope Eric feels better, and we're looking forward to getting him on another time.
Thank you.
One of the things, Bill, that happens that I've seen and you've seen is so many small business owners literally just say to the world, hey, I'm open for business. You line up to the right here, and I'll take you one at a time. And you know they don't know where their business is coming from. Even if they do a little bit of prospecting, it's not organized. It's not structured. It's not focused in a way that's repeatable. It's not developed in a way that is measurable. And it's one of the reasons, one of the main reasons small business owners fail, isn't it?
Well, I guess it is. You know, I suppose all we had to do is to look out and say next, and at the end of the day say. Gee, Devona, please, no more. I just roll into tomorrow. I just can't see anybody else. You know, most of us won't fail because we don't know how to do something. It's because we don't have enough people in our waiting room to do it with. And so, yeah, that function of prospecting, marketing, whatever you want to call it, of getting enough opportunities and enough of the right kind of opportunities to complement our capabilities and to convert our confidence into compensation is probably what the magic formula is all about.
Right. Exactly. Well, how do we? You've come up with some ideas. You've got some ideas on how we can get our 2005 prospecting kicked off the right way. Give it to us, please.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. And we teach a program called Preferral Prospecting or Preferred Lead Prospecting. And what it really is building a network of centers of influence, people who call on the same kind of people as you do, but in a complementary or non-competitive field. And what we try to do is teach people how to get introductions rather than referrals. Now, don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying don't be happy when you get a referral. What I'm suggesting is you don't go looking for one, and here's why. If you ask somebody, who do you know that I should be talking to, you run two problems. One is that they're either not psychic and they just don't know. If you'd asked me who in my neighborhood loves his family and probably could use some life insurance, I might have thought about a guy down the street. But he just took off with his secretary and left a beautiful wife and three little girls in a beautiful home. So, you know, I don't know. There's a little risk that even if I'm right, I could be wrong. So that makes me a little reticent. And the other issue is sometimes, let's face it, we're all problem solvers, Jim.
Right.
If the problem you solve is not exactly politically correct, you could have a problem where people just don't want to make those kinds of subjective judgments about people.
Mm-hmm.
And in my best image of this is I said, let's suppose you love your doctor. Would you help your doctor meet some other patients? Most people would say, oh, sure, no problem. Then I add, but they're the most famous proctologist in the world. Now you got a challenge. But if the doctor said, gee, Jim, do you notice anybody who seems to be standing a lot lately at the meeting? I don't want you to make a judgment. I want you to make an observation that's objective and not subjective. So one of the things that I think we need to learn how to do is to seek out introductions to people who look like the kind of people that in the past have really, really responded well to the mission that we have, that we have built our business around. Because if we get in front of enough of the right people, even in advance of their critical need to know, we're going to be there and pop out like candy from a Pez dispenser in their mind when the time comes. But as I always say, if we don't know each other before the time comes, how the heck are you going to find me when it does?
Well, you know, I've had people come up to me and want me to help them with referrals. And they've said, you know, would you send me some business? Or they give me their card and they say, you know, or they might even say, who do you know who, as you mentioned. But the thing is when they do that, it's not that I mind, but it kind of puts me on the spot and I'm not ready for that. And it's not my job, frankly, to qualify the world for them. It's their job. It's their job to do that.
And if you qualify it even properly, but they don't like the presumption that you made about them, like, who are you to say that I was broken, Jim, that I needed a new stockbroker? What do you think? My old one wasn't, you know, it's like, that's when you get the look that goes, hey, listen, Jim, I tell you, honestly, nobody comes to mind, but if somebody brings it up, you are going to be the man I'm going to bring up. And now you're back into a passive position waiting for something to happen instead of going out and making
it.
But we found if we teach people how to go out and get introductions, which most people won't have a hard time with, you get more people into your pipeline, you get more people you can start to process, contact, cultivate, and sooner or later, you know, one of you coughs up or gives up, and so it goes. But I think that, as you said, it's all that incredibly important first step of getting enough people in that proverbial waiting room that makes your business take off or flounder in some cases.
So what's the next step?
Well, I think once you get, you know, a system, and certainly if anybody wants, we'll be happy to send we have a special report on the referral prospecting system. But if you get that taken care of one way or another, and you get people that you've talked to and who've said, you know, in effect, you can stay in touch, even if today isn't the day, maybe at some point in a reasonable period of time, we're going to need to know each other. Then I think you've got to have a system for back-end cultivation. You've got to manage to stay in touch. And my joke is, you know, I always ask, how do I stay in your mind without getting in your face?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of become my little way of getting people to chuckle, but it makes
that's
the
a good way. That's a good way to think of it, though. And that's the dance that we do with people, isn't it?
It is, and it's an artistic one these days because, as you know, there's just so much stuff going on out there, and we have so little attention. I think that's why marketing costs so much because, you know, you're trying to go after less and less, and it takes more and more resources to try and break through the clutter and get somebody's attention. That if you can do it with permission, and you and I both know Seth Godin, I had the opportunity to go to a workshop with him back in June. You know, his whole premise of permission marketing is so critical because if you don't have that, then you're trying to interrupt people. And in these days, people have all kinds of attitudes that are not pleasant about being interrupted.
Stand by, Bill. We're going to take a quick break. I have to interrupt you because we have to sell some things. It's 20 after. We'll be right back with our good friend, Bill Doerr. He's one of the partners with Sell More Marketing, LLC. And when we come back, he's going to give us his website so we can find some of his products and his information. And we'll be right back. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a good visit with our good friend Bill Doerr, partner in the organization called Sell More Marketing, LLC. And Bill, I'd like for you to tell us how we can find you online.
Well, we set up a little something just for this morning, Jim. And if anybody wants to, they can go to www.sellmoremarketing.com. That's Sell More Marketing is one word, all lowercase. And when you get there, what you're going to get is an invitation to download a special report from us. It's called How to Stand Out from the Crowd, specially designed for people who are trying to differentiate themselves and do so primarily if you're in an intangible service field. It's a very popular report of ours, and it's kind of our way of saying, introduce yourself to us with a first name, company, and an email. You'll get the report sent to you, and that kind of gives us a de facto permission to follow up. And if you want to opt into further conversations with us electronically, then you can do so from the follow-up communications we'll send one time. And if you don't want to opt in, that'll be the only thing you ever get from us.
But Bill, I appreciate that. And folks, what you just received, in addition to the information on how to find Bill, you just got a clinic on how to approach people online, how to do online marketing the right way. And Bill, I want to congratulate you on that. Obviously, I expected nothing less than that from you. But I just want to thank you for not only giving us the information, making that report available, but also teaching us how to do it the right way.
Well, there you go. And you know, it just occurs to me, what I'll do is if as a follow up to that, I'll also include, when you register for getting the first download, I'll send along the Preferral Prospecting Program, which is another special report of ours that outlines how that system is built and what it basically consists of. So that'll be a very helpful, call it a second prize, if you will, inside.
I appreciate that, Bill, very much. Okay, Bill, let's talk about some specific things that we can do to improve our prospecting ability. Give us some things with a handle that we can carry away.
Well, you know, it's a good time of the year to, you know, take stock of where we've been and where we're going. I would certainly suggest that, you know, if you do nothing more than identify some good centers of influence, people who you can meet with. I like to meet with my centers 4 times a year, and when I get somebody who qualifies, I tell them, look, get out your book. We're going to book four luncheon meetings. I'm going to buy 2 of them, and you're going to buy 2 of them. Well, you know, because if you don't do that, you have a challenge. And if you have, think about it, if you have about 20 or so people, you can plan to have 2 luncheons a week where you go to meet with somebody who knows your ideal profile for a prospect, knows people that they're talking to that look like those people, and will introduce you or give you introductions to hook up with their people that they've known who fit your profile, and you do the same for them. And if you walk out of that with between 5 and 10 names, at the end of a month, you've got at least 39 or more referrals. And, you know, will all those people be candidates? Obviously not. Will they be candidates at some point in a reasonable future? Definitely. And, you know, there's relatively few total knockouts that, for whatever the reason, just cannot or will not be in a position to be of interest to you. But
Bill, hold on that thought for a second. I want to ask you, I know that for you and me, center of influence is instinctive. It's pretty intuitive. You and I, we've used that designation for people for many, many years. But it might not be so intuitive for everybody. Let's define what a center of influence is, because in the direction that you're going right now, that's the wellspring of all of it.
Well, okay, let me give you that definition and another one that's a slight variation of it.
Okay.
Center of influence is obviously anybody who I think has potency and prestige within a circle of influence that they have. So it's, you know, who do you know who will, you know, if I mention, you know, Jim Blassingame's name, will say, oh, I don't know who the heck you are, Dor, but Jim's a good guy, so I'm going to give you the courtesy of my attention to hear your mission or hear your elevator speech. And if we go any further, it'll be because I at least listened to you. I didn't, you know, kind of shunt you away. The problem with centers of influence, if you will, is not really a problem, but it's a limitation. Usually, a center of influence may not be in a position to benefit from you as much as
right.
you can from them.
If they're an 800,
you can't
if they're
go
an 800,
back to that well too many times.
If they're an 800-pound gorilla and you're a 50-pound gorilla, then you got to really use it judiciously. But you know, one of the things I do whenever this center of influence that I'm talking to is truly, you know, 800-pound gorilla, is I say 2 things to them. I say, before we go, I say, what can I do to help you? And sometimes they come up with something, sometimes they don't. Sometimes later on they call me up and they say, remember when you said, you know, and so it's a good gesture to make. And then sometimes I say, you know, so the mouse was able to help the lion once.
Well, you know, that's like Joanna Brandy likes to say, you know, what goes out on the waters as bread comes back as French toast.
It
does come back value added. There's no doubt about it. But I'd add one other slight layer to this whole thing, and that's what I call a board of director. And a board of director is a center of influence, too, mm-hmm. but it's a person whom I can help as much as they can help me, so it doesn't become a one-way occasional contact. And those are the people that I seek out to have. I have about 20 to 25 of those people.
These are people who are more peers in the marketplace, aren't they?
Well, they're calling on the same people.
Yep.
So if you're trying to talk to, let's say, small business people or to law firms, you're looking at other people who call on and work with law firms. So like I've got one of my clients is a coach who works with law firms.
Bill, I apologize, but I got to stop you. Give us your website one more time.
www.sellmoremarketing.com.
Sellmoremarketing.com. Will you come back and bring Eric with you next time?
You got a deal, sir.
We'll do it. Bill Dewar, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. Got to take a quick break. I'll be right back with our good friend Rick Pinion after these messages. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.